And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Bacon Sage. You know, I'll bet a lot of mighty good food goes on your table. But unless you're making your cakes with new Sure Mix Crisco, you're really cheating your family.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Cheating them out of a lot of good eating. Because you can make better eating cakes with new Sure Mix Crisco than you've ever made before, even with the most expensive shortening. Why, this wonderful new Crisco is just chock full of good news for cake makers all over the country. Yes, new Sure Mix Crisco gives you three brand new cake making advantages. Higher cakes, lighter cakes, tenderer cakes than you've ever made before. Now, it took the greatest shortening discovery in years to make this new Crisco possible, and we've patented that discovery. That's why Sure Mix Crisco is the only shortening that can make you these amazing cake-making promises. Why, you'll be amazed after one look at the new type cake batter Crisco now gives you. You've never seen a creamier cake batter before, nor one that's so satin smooth. And it's the only cake batter that doesn't separate or curdle like batters made with other shortenings frequently do. That's the big reason for your better-eating Crisco cakes. Why, we've made tests in our own kitchens. Yes, we've baked hundreds of cakes with every well-known shortening we could find. And here's what these tests proved. They proved that cakes made with new Sure Mix Crisco are higher and lighter than cakes made with any other household shortening we know of. And what's more, they're tenderer and better-eating cakes, too. So why don't you change to new Sure Mix Crisco today? I promise you the best-eating cakes you've ever made. And now, here's some more news. News you've all been waiting for. The name of the $5,000 prize winner in Crisco's second and final all-cash contest that closed at midnight, April 28th. She's Mrs. John Bennett of East Cleveland, Ohio. Congratulations, Mrs. Bennett. Checks for $50 each are being sent to the 102nd prize winners. Congratulations and lots of happiness to all of you. Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Goop. Vic is established in his easy chair with the newspaper, while Sade, who occupies a corner of the Davenport, reads a book. And now a silence of some duration is broken. Listen.
Oh, ish.
It's ready.
Oh, this trashy novel of Rush's.
Third Lieutenant Stanley?
Yeah.
Lieutenant Stanley's a baboon.
It's Lady Margaret that makes me tired.
What's she up to?
Oh, always blushing and waltzing around and hiding her face behind her fan and glancing coquettishly down at her fashionable French spats. And, well, here. You never heard such junk.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful woman Pinkins. She stooped over quickly and pretended to adjust her fashionable French spats. She didn't want the handsome young officer to see her shining eyes and quivering lips. Give me 8 kisses, sweetheart, breathed Third Lieutenant Stanley. And his manly...
Hi.
Oh, golly, what silliness.
Yeah.
Third Lieutenant Stanley and Lady Margaret don't either one of them act very bright.
No.
Mr. Chinbunny telephone?
Who?
Mr. Chinbunny.
Nobody telephone.
Mr. Chinbunny will telephone pretty soon.
What for?
He's anxious to get in touch with Gov.
Why?
Bluster by George, it's quite a thing. He's going to ask you to teach him how to smoke cigars.
What? Oh, go on.
Absolute fact. I'll bet $9 the telephone rings within the next 10 minutes.
Smoke cigars?
Yep. I just got all the information from Heine Call. Mr. Chinbunny's attending a meeting of Illinois high school principals in Chicago this coming Saturday, and he wants to be able to whip out big black cigars and puff away on them like an old-timer.
What's the idea?
Same old idea he's always working on. He's desirous of having people think he's older than he is.
Oh.
He figures cigar smoking will give him a more mature appearance.
Sure.
Sure. You understand Mr. Chinbunny's position, don't you? He's very, very young to be principal of a big high school, and it's got him worried. He's scared the Board of Education will throw him out on his ear and hire an older fella.
No. Oh.
That's why he wears spectacles he don't need and shaves the top of his head to have a bald spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he walks so stiff and straight and keeps that stern expression on his face. He wants to look old.
Mm.
Sure.
And I'm scheduled to bolster up this maturity by initiating him into the cigar-smoking habit, huh?
Exactly.
Mm.
See, he's attending this meeting in Chicago next Saturday. He'll meet a lot of other high school principals, and he'll also meet important big shots. He's anxious to impress them important big shots.
Mm, cigar ought to do it.
He don't want to be considered any young kid. His idea is to whip out big black cigars and smoke away like a steam engine and show everybody he's knocked around the world plenty and understand what's what.
I didn't think teachers smoked.
Well, they don't smoke around the school building or in public, but what they do at home is their own business.
No.
Be plenty of them smoking in Chicago next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Chinbunny's never smoked in his life. But he's got this idea. So the thing to do was find somebody to teach him to smoke. He consulted Frida. Frida suggested you go.
I don't know as I'm flattered particularly. Being recommended as a good guy to teach people to smoke puts me in the light of a guy that's a slave to nicotine.
No.
You say Chinbunny's going to phone me this evening?
I'm surprised he hasn't already done it.
Mm.
He's crowded for time, see? He's only got 3 days to contract the cigar-smoking habit. He wouldn't want to go up there to Chicago and botch the job. He wouldn't want to give himself away by handling his cigar awkward.
Or getting sick.
Yeah, or getting sick.
I'm just wondering how I'd go about teaching a guy to smoke.
Well, there's nothing to it, is there? All a person has to do is puff.
It's the refinements Mr. Chinbunny's after.
Refinements?
You know, the technique.
Oh.
Say, for instance, he's sitting in the hotel lobby next Saturday, maybe having a chat with the president of the Board of Education from Moline or someplace. All right. Pretty soon, very easy and casual, he says, "Beg pardon, Mr. So-and-so, but do you mind if I light up a cigar?" "Not at all," says Mr. So-and-so, glancing up in admiration. Mr. Chinbunny reaches in his pocket and produces a big black rope as thick as your arm. He scratches a match and draws in a couple bushels of smoke and blows it out like a furnace. "Ah, that's better," he says, leaning back in his chair. Mr. So-and-so watches him with approval. "By George, that boy's been around," he says.
Chinbunny didn't paint you that picture, did he?
No, just some thoughts of my own.
I wondered.
I think mainly what he'll do, Gov, is have you sit around smoking cigars while he studies your various movements. He appreciates you're a cigar smoker from way back, and he'll attempt to memorize every motion you make and then imitate you.
Is he going to furnish the cigars?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Looks like Mr. Chinbunny and myself will have gay times.
He better take it easy the first 19 or 20 cigars, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'd run the risk of getting sick.
He's in for a few uneasy moments, whatever he does, I think.
He's never smoked in his life, you say, Willie?
Not once.
Oh.
And after this meeting on Saturday's over, he plans to give up the habit. It can't get a very strong grip on him in just 3 days, can it?
I don't imagine so. However, there's always the chance he'll take to tobacco like a duck takes to water. Won't I feel fine, though, if after I've taught him to smoke, he becomes such a devotee of Lady Nicotine, he leaves his family and quits his job, and I'm to blame for the whole miserable...
Stop on saying...
There you are now. Mr. Chinbunny.
Okay.
Maybe you hadn't better mention I tipped you off to this.
Okay.
Act like it's a complete surprise.
Who?
Oh, he's nothing but a big overgrown kid, that Chinbunny. Asking a person to teach him to smoke. Goodness, might as well ask somebody to teach him to tie a shoe.
Hello? Oh, hello there. Why, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, Dr. Sleech. Just a second. There's some woman on the telephone that claims her name is Chinbunny.
500?
Yeah.
Sure, invite him over.
I am sorry, Ruthie, but Sadie says you and your big axe of a husband make her sick to her stomach. Okay. Tell him I can whip him with one hand tied behind my back. Yeah. No, come on over, Ruthie. No, not a thing. Just sitting here with our teeth in our mouths. Okay, fine. Fine, Ruthie. We'll be looking for you. You bet. Bye.
How soon?
Oh, 15, 20 minutes. Fred has to pump up a couple of tires.
I changed my shirt.
Oh.
Well, put on shoes anyway.
God, with Fred and Ruthie coming over, how are you
going to... Where you get that Fred and Ruthie stuff, Rush?
With Mr. and Miss Chinbunny coming over, how are you going to teach Mr. Chinbunny to smoke cigars?
I forgot about that.
He'll be telephoning directly.
Well, heck, you said all he wanted to do was watch me. He can sit on the Davenport and watch me smoke cigars till he's blue in the face.
Till you're blue in the face. He's nothing but an overgrown kid, that Chinbunny.
He's scared of his job, Mom. He's afraid the Board of Education will fire him from being too young. He's always on the lookout for angles, see?
Mm-hmm.
Angles he can follow up and give the human race the impression he's a lot older than he is. And by George, seems to me this cigar-smoking stunt is a pretty doggone smart angle.
Maybe I'll establish a cigar-smoking college. set up a regular curriculum and take in students at $40 a semester. Now, let's see. The first lesson will read, insert cigar between thumb and forefinger. Open mouth and convey
now,
the point.
Here I got Mr. Chinbunny.
It was Mr. Chinbunny last time. You answered.
Okay.
Might be Ruthie calling back to say all the tires are flat. Why won't Fred buy new ones?
Hello? Yes?
It's him.
Why, yes, Mr. Chinbunny. I believe he is. Hold the wire a second, please.
Okay, sir.
This is really on the level, huh?
I assured you it was on the level.
Yeah, but it sounded like a figment of somebody's imagination.
Here, he's waiting.
Shall I tell him he can come over, say?
I don't care.
Hello? Oh, yes. Just fine, thanks. And yourself? Huh? Why, yes, I do plan to be in all evening. Yes. Well, certainly. Well, of course. Why, I'll be expecting you then, Mr. Chinbunny. Fine. All right, Mr. Chinbunny. Right.
What do you say?
Asked me if I planned to be in all evening and then wanted to know if he could drop by and see me on a certain matter.
He desires to cultivate in the cigar smoking habit.
Oh, such silliness.
No, by George. Instead of such silliness, it's a case of such smartness. Well, look. Say, for instance, Mr. Chinbunny's up there in Chicago chewing the rag with Mr. So-and-so, the president of the East St. Louis Board of Education. Mind if I torch up Mr. So-and-so? Not at all. And then Mr. Chinbunny whips out a stogie as big as your leg. He blows out an enormous cloud of black smoke. I feel better now, he sighs. Mr. So-and-so from East St. Louis watches him with great round eyes. Finally, he says with intense admiration, "You're a sport, Chinbunny. You're a real sport."
Which concludes another brief interlude in the small house halfway up the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Bick and Sade until tomorrow. Say, are you planning a nice spring tea party pretty soon? Well, Crisco's Apricot Delight strips would be just the thing to serve. Just bake a sheet of tender, flaky Crisco pastry on a cookie sheet, then cover it with homemade apricot jam and top with a quarter-inch layer of frothy meringue. Pop the whole thing into a low oven till the meringue glistens with a delicate golden brown. Then cut into strips. Oh, that apricot flavor is swell with tea. And as for the Crisco pastry, what a mouthful of tenderness that is. And not even a hint of any strong, unpleasant flavor. That's because no shortening we know of comes to you purer, fresher, or creamier than Crisco. And you can make better eating cakes with new SureMix Crisco, too. Why, our baking tests show that Crisco cakes are higher, lighter, and tenderer than cakes you can make with any other shortening we know of. So get pure, all-vegetable Crisco at your store today. It's the only shortening you need for all your baking and frying. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Sade tomorrow. This is Melvin Allen speaking.